Psalm 107 this morning, if we could. I want to thank Pastor Pete for me to preach today. I appreciate your pastor very much. You know, anybody can come through and preach, but be thankful for a man who is faithful, and be thankful for a man who has just stayed steady all these years. I think he's been here 14, going on 15 years, I believe, and praise the Lord for that. We live in a day when pastors are running to and fro, and they'll stay somewhere a year or two, and then they'll jump somewhere else. And be thankful for a steady man, a steadfast man. Psalm 107, here in this psalm, we have about five different, really, sections, really different stories, and I want to focus on one of those this morning. Really, they're not five different stories. They all relate to the same thing, but I want us to notice verse number 21, and we'll read verse 21 through verses 30 this morning. Psalm 107, beginning in verse number 21. The Bible says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." By the way, we find that five different times in this book. It says, in this chapter, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven," to the heaven. "They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven." It is amazing to me how many phrases we use in our vocabulary that are really biblical phrases. And we find one of those in our passage today, and that's going to be our title this morning, and we find it in verse number 27. The Bible says, "They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end." And I want to preach you a message this morning entitled, "At Wit's End." Are you there this morning? Maybe you are, maybe you're not. What is that phrase reference? What is it referring to? It's referring to the several different things, but it's referring to the limit of our mental resources. It is referring to the plans and schemes that we come up with to try to deal with our circumstances many times. By the way, we live in a day when so many are trying to deal with their circumstances in their own ways instead of God's Word. A lot of parents today are trying to raise children without God's Word. That's going to fail. A lot of husbands and wives are trying to work a marriage or trying to live in a marriage without ever consulting God's Word and what it says about having a successful marriage. I know some parents, they have children and they say, "Well, I wish these children came with an owner's manual. Everything else comes with an owner's manual. I wish these children did." It does. They do. And so many times we're trying to figure these things out. A lot of folks try to figure their finances out by themselves without ever consulting God's Word. And you know what happens? We come to our wit's end. And that's what it's referring to. It's referring to us trying to scheme and to plan and trying to figure all these things out. It also refers, I think primarily, it refers to the frustration that we come to when we try to figure everything out ourselves. That's a frustrating way to live when we try to figure everything out on our own. So I want to bring you a message this morning regarding that. I want to show you three different characters that we find in these 10 verses this morning, and hopefully will be a help to you today. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us and ask the Holy Spirit to have free reign in our midst today. Father, we do thank you so much. We love you this morning, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity once again to open your pure, precious, holy word and to be helped. But Father, your word, you've given it to us to guide us through this life here on this earth. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to obey it, submit to it, heed it. Father, incline our ears toward it. And Father, I pray if there's someone this morning that's at their wit's end, maybe it is a financial issue, maybe it is a family issue, maybe there's an individual in here this morning that is not saved, has never been born again. They've been trying to do it all on their own, and they are at their wit's end. Father, I pray that they would be born again this morning. Father, I pray that they would see that Jesus Christ came. He was born in that manger that we celebrated just this past week. He lived, and he died on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood so that we could have forgiveness and redemption, Lord. And I pray that there would be someone that would be born again this morning, that they are frustrated because everything they're trying to do isn't working. Father, help us today. I pray for the believer that has trials and storms and turmoils in their lives this morning, and they're trying to scheme and to plan and to help God figure it out. Lord, help us just to submit to you because you already have it figured out. Father, we love you today. Help us in this passage. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give you number one. If you're taking notes, or even if you're not this morning, I want to show you three characters here in these 10 verses. And I want to begin this morning with number one. I want us to see, first of all, the storms that consume. The storms that consume. The Bible there in verse number 27, when it speaks of being at wit's end, the word in there carries the idea of being swallowed up, of being consumed, of being engulfed by the storms. And so I want us to see the storms that consume. What do they consume? What do they swallow up? What do they engulf? And let me say this, even if you are trusting the Lord this morning, and that's what we're going to get to in our last character this morning, even if you're trusting the Lord this morning, the storms are going to come. The Bible is very clear about that in Matthew chapter number 7. The Bible speaks of the man who built his house upon the rock and the man who built his house upon the sand. The only difference there wasn't that the man who built his house upon the rock never had storms. He had storms too. The difference was the structure. The difference was the foundation upon which they were built. And so storms are going to come. The question is, are they going to consume us or not? The storms that consume. What do they consume? Well, first of all, they consume our souls. Do you notice verse number 26 with me this morning? The Bible says they mount up to the heaven. They go down again in the depths. Their soul. And this is speaking of the sailors. This is speaking of the men that are the merchant men, if you will, the mariners, if you will, the men on the ships. And so the Bible says there in verse number 26 that their souls are melted because of the trouble. And storms, many times, they consume our souls. Not only that, but they consume our strength. They consume our strength. Notice verse number 27. They reel to and fro. They consume our strength. We get to a point where we're like, hey, I don't have any strength to handle this. Maybe it is a financial issue. Maybe it is a physical issue. And we say, Lord, I don't have any strength. And we're reeling to and fro, and they consume our strength. I remember when my family and I moved to Ripley, Tennessee, and the Lord called us to pastor, and we moved in 2008, in January of 2008, and we accepted the call to go to the church in late 2007. And so in December of 2007, we put our house on the market. And if you remember anything about the end of 2007 and 2008, there was a tremendous economic downturn. There was a, if you will, the housing market, the bubble burst. And so we put our house on the market right at the beginning of when all of that began. And it took us 14 months to sell our home. And we're moving to pastor a church, and we're ministering, and we're serving. And during that 12, 14 months, we're asking the Lord, Lord, we know you've called us here. We know this is what you would have us to do. But Lord, why haven't you sold our home yet? Lord, why is that home that's 3 hours away from us that we have to go back and check on so every so often. Why hasn't that sold yet? And there were some times in those 14 months when we were, at least I was, when I was reeling to and fro and my strength was gone. And by the way, that's exactly where the Lord wanted me. He wanted me there because He wanted me to understand, hey, I have brought you here and I brought your family here and I'm going to take care of you. I'll sell that house when I get good and ready to sell that house. But in the meantime, I'm going to take care of you. And so the storms, they consume our souls. They consume our strength. Thirdly, they consume our stability. Again, in verse number 27, the Bible says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunk man. They consume our stability. They consume our schemes. Again, verse number 27, and are at their wits' end. The storms that consume. They consume our souls, our strength, our stability, our schemes. And again, that's exactly where God wants us because that's exactly what God is trying to do. He's trying to consume ourself and our schemes and our ways. And then finally, this one wraps up even with the one we just mentioned, our schemes. They consume our self. Let me read you a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, very familiar verse. 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 25, the Bible says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Is God foolish? No, not at all. But the Bible says, the foolishness of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. As much strength as we think we might have, as much strength as we think we might have to be able to take care of situations, the Bible says even the weakness of God, even though He's never weak, but His weakness is stronger than we could ever be. The storms that consume. And when all of our devices and all of our schemes are swallowed up, we have nowhere else to turn but to the Lord. And that's number two. Number one, the storms that consume. But let me give you the second character this morning, or characters if I could. We see secondly, the sailors that cry. We see the storms that consume, but secondly, we see the sailors that cry, or who cry, if you will. Verse number 28, notice this, verses 21 through 27, we have the storms. The Bible says in verse number 23, they that go down in the sea in ships, those are the sailors. Those that work on the ships, they that go down in the sea in the ships that do business in great waters, verse 24, these, the sailors, the mariners, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. And then in verses 25 and 27, it talks about the storms. And notice what happens in verse number 28. And this is the response that we ought to have during the storms. When the storms are consuming us, when the storms are troubling us, if you will, when the storms are bringing trial. And by the way, let me say this before we move into to number two. Sometimes those storms are self-inflicted. Sometimes they're self-inflicted. Sometimes they're satanically influenced. Remember Job? Satan desired to buffet him. Satan said, look, God, the only reason He doesn't deny you, the only reason He doesn't reject you is because you have a hedge around Him. And God said, no, I know my servant Job. And God allowed Satan to buffet him. And even in the midst of that, Job never denied God. Job never rejected God. Sometimes they're satanically influenced. Sometimes they're sovereignly injected. But no matter why the reason for the storm, storms are going to come. And our response needs to be the same response as we have in verse number 28. The Bible says, then they, who's the they? It's the sailors. It's the mariners. It's those that do great business in great waters, the Bible says in verse 23. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. The storms that consume, but secondly, the sailors cry. You know what, friend? That's exactly where God wants us to be. God wants us to be at a point in our lives where we cry out in total dependence, in total faith in Him. The sailors who cry, what kind of a cry is it? First of all, it's a cry of recognition. It's a cry of recognition. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 24. These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Verse number 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. It is a cry of recognition, of recognizing who I am and who He is. A recognition of who God is and who I am. That I am nothing, that He is everything, that I need Him constantly, every moment, every second of the day. It's a cry of recognition. It's a cry for rescue. God help! Verse number 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. What are they crying? Help! Help! You ever cried that? You ever been at a time in your life when you couldn't say anything else but, Lord, just help! Lord, I use that word a lot, and maybe your pastor does, I don't know, but I use that word a lot because the Bible uses that word a lot. The psalmist used that word a lot. They cried many times, and what was their cry? Help, Lord. Help, Lord. We need your help. God, we need your arm of strength. The arm of flesh will fail us, the Bible says, every single time. And we need His help. It was a cry of recognition. God, I understand who You are. I see Your wonders. I see Your works. I know who You are. I know You're the Lord. I know You're Jehovah. And I know that I am in trouble. It's a cry of recognition. It's a cry for rescue. And it's a cry that leads to rejoicing. Would you notice verses 21 and 22? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Verse number 30. Then are they glad because they be quiet. They, the storms, they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. We see the storms that consume. We see the sailors who cry. But number three, and this is absolutely most important, we see the Savior who calms. You see, storms are going to come into our lives, and we look back on 2017, and probably many of you this morning could look back and see some storms that came into your lives. Might even be some storms on the horizon going into 2018. But storms come, and sometimes they consume. But let me say this, they don't have to consume. They don't have to consume. The man in Matthew 7 that built his house upon a rock, the storms did not consume him. He weathered the storms. Sometimes the storms consume, and when they do, we need to cry out as the sailors do. And then what happens? The Savior comes and He calms the storm. And ask you this morning, are you at your wit's end? Are you at your wit's end with some kids? Need to cry for the Lord's help this morning. Are you at your wit's end with your finances? Oh my, I just had Christmas. I'm going to be paying for it for 6 months. Help! That's a self-inflicted wound, isn't it? Help. The Savior who calms. Notice verse 28 again. Then they cry unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. By the way, the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. The Jehovah that we see here in verse 28, Lord, all caps, Jehovah God, the Lord of the Old Testament, Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And what happens? And He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. The storms, the waves be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Wherever the sailors were going, their desired destination, He brings them to that desired destination. When? When they cry out to Him. Lord, the storms are here. We're never going to make it to our desired destination. Lord, we need Your help. Maybe you feel like that this morning. I'm never going to reach my desired destination. I have a desire for my kids. I have a desire for my family. I have a desire for my church. By the way, this pastor has a desire for your church. Make note, there's no doubt about that. He has a desire for this church because God has a desire for this church. And by the way, it isn't his desire, it's God's desire, that he has given to him. And sometimes he has to cry out and say, Lord, I don't think we're getting to the destination. Lord, help. We have a desired haven, but the storms are here and the ship may be broken in the storm. The Savior who calms. Let me give you these real quickly. What does He do? How does He calm? What happens when He calms? First of all, He turns our distresses into deliverance. He turns our distresses into deliverance. We see that in verse number 28. And He bringeth them out of their distresses. But notice also verse number 6, if you will. The Bible says there in Psalm 107, verse 6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. Verse number 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Verse number 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He turns our distresses into deliverance. He turns our storms into stillness. Verses 29 and 30, He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. He turns our distresses into deliverance. He turns our storms into stillness. He turns our trouble into triumph. He turns our trouble into triumph. Verse number 30, then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven, triumph. Success. He turns our trouble into triumph. He turns our pleas into praise. Verses 21 and 22. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Hey, it's easy to praise God when things are going well. But friend, even when things aren't going well, God is still good. His goodness is always there. Even when the storms are there, He's still good. Maybe He's trying to purge us. Maybe He's trying to teach us something. But even in the storms, God is still good. And we say it many, many times. God's good. God's good. Yes, He is. But even in the storms, He's good. And the Bible says, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Why? For His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. He turns our pleas into praise. And declare His works with rejoicing. And finally, He turns our worries into worship. He turns our worries into worship. Verses 1 and 2, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Verse number 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 43, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The storms that consume. The sailors who cry. Friend, do you need to cry this morning? Help. Friend, are you here this morning? Do you know Christ? If I came to you this morning and asked you if we were just about to embark, we're just about to step over the threshold into a new year, and if I asked you the question, or if I posed the question to you this morning and said, hey, 2018 might be your last year upon this earth. And by the way, everything being equal, I would imagine that will not be the case for most of us in the next year, in the coming year. But if 2018 were your last year upon this earth, are you ready to meet God Almighty? Have you made peace with God? The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 5, it tells us how we can make peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, the Bible says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you living with peace? Have you made peace with God? And are you living in the peace of God this morning? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Or have you been trying to do work your own way and do good works and give money and maybe even being baptized? Maybe even a member of this church, this good church in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. You've been a member for many years, but that's not the question. The question is, have you been born again? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? And by the way, without Him, you have no peace. Without Him, you have nowhere to turn when the storms do come. And you need Christ this morning. Pastor, what do I do? The storms are consuming. What do I do? Cry for help. What did the publican do there in the temple when he came? And here's the Pharisee and here's the publican. The Pharisee said, boy, ooh, Lord, I'm thankful I'm not like this publican. What did the publican do? The Bible says he's over here in a corner and he won't even lift up his head and he beats on his chest and he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know what he did? He cried for help. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's not a long prayer, but it was a prayer of salvation. Because the Bible says that he went home justified. Right with God. Are you at your wits' end this morning? I don't know where, what area, what situation it might be. Maybe it is spiritually. Maybe you need to be saved this morning. What a way to end 2017. What a way to end 2017, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Maybe it is a family situation. If you came to your pastor this morning, you say, Pastor, I am at my wit's end on how to deal with this situation in my family. That's exactly where God wants you to be. Because it is at our wit's end where we realize that I have to trust God. It is at our wit's end where we realize I need to cry out unto the Lord. And by the way, when we do that, when we truly come, not trying to whitewash and not just trying to gloss things over, but when we truly come in recognition, understanding who He is and who I am, the Bible says He will still the waves and He will calm the storms. By the way, if you're not saved this morning, if you'll cry out to Him today, He will calm the storms. The Bible says He will give you a peace that passeth all understanding. He'll give you a peace that this world does not know and that you have never known until you come to Him. The storms that consume, the sailors who cry, the Savior who calms. Friend, I don't know where you're at this morning. You may not be at your wit's end, but maybe you are. Would you cry out to the Lord this morning? Again, and I've mentioned this already several times, maybe it is a family. Maybe it is finances. Okay, here's the thing. Stop trying to do it your way and start listening to what God's Word says. Amen. Stop trying to do... Let's stop trying to do all of the... By the way, let's stop trying to do church our way and let's start doing it God's way. Let's stop trying to figure all of this out on our own and let's start submitting ourselves to God's Word and crying out to Him for help and then letting Him... still the waves. By the way, in Jeremiah 6:16, when the prophet said, he challenged the people to walk in the old paths. And he told them if they would, what would they have? And you shall find what? Rest for your souls. You see, walking in God's path is where we find rest for our souls. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank You for this passage. Father, so much. We didn't even honestly scratch the surface this morning, Father, of what is in Psalm 107. But Father, we do know this, that when the storms are consuming us, when the storms are raging around us, Father, we need do nothing more than to cry out as these sailors did in verse 28. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And Father, the Lord, You calmed the storm. You made the waves quiet. Father, again, I don't know hearts this morning. I do not know needs this morning. But Father, You do. Your sweet Holy Spirit does. And I pray that Your Holy Spirit would have free reign this morning. And Father, if there's a believer that needs to get some things right with You, that just needs to cry out for Your help this morning and say, Lord, I'm going to submit to Your Word. I'm going to stop trying to figure this out. I'm going to stop trying to scheme. Lord, I'm just going to trust You. Father, maybe there's someone here that's never been saved, never been born again. And they are at their wit's end. They have no peace in their life. Father, may they just simply cry out in simple faith and repentance this morning and cry out for salvation. Father, please help. I pray that your Holy Spirit would work. Father, I pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to have you stand to your feet, head bowed and eyes closed.